killing me with the no code.
All right, fine. That's another good one. God damn, that's a good song.
Well, and it's only halfway over.
I know. Let's hear more.
Let's hear the other 30 seconds.
Just like that episode.
He's fucking done. I think that's the end of the song.
There you go.
So was that the last? That was the last word, right? I'm fucking done?
I think so. I probably couldn't tell you two words from that song.
I'm going to Lukens. That's the only lyrics I know. I think there's something about opening up the fridge.
Sure.
You know the story behind that song?
Not at all.
I alluded to it during episode one. Those of you, now that we're on episode four of
right.
Evil Little Goats podcast, I'm Travis.
I'm Jeremy.
It's Jeremy on the other side of me here. On episode one, if you go back and listen, you make references to me stalking Eddie Vedder, which I vehemently deny.
Sure, yeah. Deny away, friend.
But you know that the scene in PGA 20 where he talks about the person crashing into his house?
Yeah.
Well, he had a stalker, and he wrote that song. He went to Matt Lukens' house, and he wrote that song about going to Lukens' house to avoid the stalker. So that's why I said, yes, I'm the guy that Eddie Vedder wrote Lukens about.
There you go.
Yeah. But yeah, Lukens is such a fun song. And it's like 59 seconds or something. And it's the most punk rock thing in Pearl Jam's catalog.
It's funny, though, because it actually kind of sounds like some of their current stuff. Let me, I'm trying to cue it up on this sloppy YouTube thing. But this sounds very modern.
Like Supersonic, kind of?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just give it a minute.
You know, this is Lukens you're playing, right?
I know.
Okay. So.
But just to revisit.
I heard Supermarket.
Yeah. So good.
Yeah.
Just because you compared it to Supersonic, I just want to.
Well, it has that
compare,
same kind of
compare and
rapid
contrast.
Fire, not rapid fire, but up tempo.
Yeah.
And play.
Loud.
Yeah, adjust your levels there. Keep your levels in check, Jeremy.
The Vimeo player is not as helpful as the YouTube player. That one reminds me more of Mankind, the guitar riff.
You could
lay those down side by side.
Yeah, that's interesting. And you're the one who doesn't like no-code.
I know.
It's like the foundation for modern Pearl Jam.
I listened to that album, no matter how much I didn't like it, I listened to it for hours and hours and hours.
Oh, Backspacer?
Hours. No-code.
Oh, okay.
Because at the time... Vitalogy had come out, 2-3 years earlier, right?
Yeah,
was there that much of a gap?
About, I think it might have been 95 to 94.
Was it only
at least 2 years, at least 2 years.
Okay.
Maybe it was 96 to 94.
And then was it forever until, what was it, did Binaural come out after that?
No, the next record was Yield in 98.
Okay, so there was a long gap where we were waiting for a record, right?
Yes.
Yeah, so that's why I listened to No Code a ton. Because that was the only option I had.
Well, and the thing with Backspacer, you could listen to that a ton. It's a 37-minute album.
Yeah.
You can put that on repeat and have it on background. I have that on background all the time. It's just like, the songs are good. They aren't like Pearl Jam at their prime or anything and their best, but it's like I listen to that regularly because it's just a quick listen.
Yeah.
It's almost like an EP.
And they got a lot of grief for only doing a 37 minute album.
And supposedly, when the record first came out, Mike went on record with Rolling Stone saying that they had B-sides and they had a record ready to go they were going to release later the same year.
Oh.
Of course, that never happened, just like things like the Pearl Jam Rock Band game never happened. Did you know that was going to be a thing? They were going to do Rock Band Pearl Jam?
I remember seeing, I think like Amazon was like pre-selling it.
Yeah, and you know why it tanked?
No.
Rock Band Green Day tanked. That's why.
Really?
Yeah, Harmonix. Because on the 10 Club web on the PearlJam.com forums, they had a thing where you could listen to up to like 5 different versions of 20 or 30 different songs, mm-hmm. and the ones the fans voted on that liked the most, and it was sponsored by like Nokia or Samsung or somebody. So you could listen to these songs and you voted on which live version you liked the best, and the ones that got the most votes made it into the game.
Okay.
And it was all being done legitimately through Pearl Jam's website. And supposedly they were going to make a Pearl Jam Rock Band game. And what ended up happening is obviously they got canned. They did Backspacer that you could buy at Target on Rock Band. You could also download it through DLC for your Xbox or PlayStation or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But they ended up a few years later, Rock Band Green Day came out first. And I read an article because I play games. I'm a big gamer geek, and I read an article with one of the guys that was doing from Harmonix, the studio that made that game. They were talking about how Rock Band Green Day had disappointing sales numbers, so they had to kill Rock Band Pearl Jam.
Interesting. So I had a
and
theory.
Then that quote was promptly removed because some stupid idiot boneless. Or spineless, excuse me, not boneless. He's boneless. He's just a blob of flesh. Some spineless gaming journalist was like, "Oh, I'm sorry, big Harmonix company, you retract your quote.
Now I can't get free games.
Get it on fucking record. God damn it, stupid journalist."
I had a theory there for a while because Rock Band and Guitar Hero and all that was just, I mean, everybody was doing it. I thought that they were going to stop. I saw a path to the end of albums as we knew them, and only video games, basically, that you would buy the game so you could play along, and then you also got like the digital, you know, the CD or whatever. But that whole trend just like vanished.
Yeah, well, it became cumbersome to have all those all that equipment, the peripherals to play with, and also. I don't know if they lost licensing because Harmonix dealt with MTV and they obviously had all the major labels on board and everything, but I imagine it costs a lot of money to have the rights to the songs, and eventually it gets to be like there are only so many gaming franchises that can come out every year and be people will buy them, like Madden or FIFA Soccer.
Madden, by the way, is the only game I buy every year.
Yeah, no, I totally buy Madden every year.
Even though it's the same game every year.
Yeah, but no, it just became too much of a hassle for gamers. They got tired of it. But actually, the first time I ever listened to Metallica's Death Magnetic, their last album, and yes, I do own it. I'm a music journalist, so I'm supposed to own these things.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
That's the same reason why I own records by Ashley Simpson and other artists you wouldn't think that I'd actually
just
own
in case
of.
Someone comes rifling through your CDs and finds
them. Yeah, exactly. I have to make sure that I put out the disclaimer that I'm a music journalist.
I have the entire Justin Bieber catalog because I have to.
Yes. Well, don't knock Biebs, man. I don't own any of his records. That's what Spotify's for, but I have gone to a Bieber concert.
Really?
I took my 16-
As a fan or as a journalist?
As a journalist. I took my 16-year-old niece to her first concert. It was Justin Bieber in Tacoma.
Wow.
And I wrote about it as her experience and mine kind of together. But anyway, Death Magnetic. The first time I ever heard that record, I played it on Guitar Hero, because you could download it before. Okay. I think it was before the record came out.
Yeah.
So I was like, "Oh, new Metallica." So I poured myself a couple gin and tonics, and I listened to an air quotes because I was playing the game. I was like, "This isn't that bad when I'm playing it." And then like I listened to the record when I got it, and I was like, "This isn't that good of a record."
See, but even though they didn't make a Pearl Jam game, you could still download.
I downloaded 10.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, there's no way I'm not going to have 10 if I'm going to play a Rock Band.
Yeah.
Of course, now I don't own Rock Band or any of that crap because I got rid of it all because I was tired of it, but still.
See, and I think there may have been the tired of it thing, but I still think that the keytar is what killed it. When they brought out the keytar controller, then everyone is like, I'm out.
Didn't the keytar really kill everything, including
exactly,
the 80s?
Exactly. We didn't learn our lesson in the 80s.
Yeah.
Hey, wait, isn't this a Pearl Jam podcast?
I can't wait for Boom to break out the guitar at one show. That's going to be so great. Do the guitar solo on Crazy Mary. You know what's great about Boom? So let's talk about Boom for a little bit.
Yeah, let's talk about Boom.
He's the neglected sixth member of the band.
Yeah.
Can you remember seeing the band without Boom and with Boom?
Yes.
Do you remember the dynamic, how different the song sounded?
Yes.
It's remarkable. Songs like Crazy Mary, Black, Daughter, songs I don't necessarily like. Some of the they get new life breathed into them by what Boom brings to the band.
Mm-hmm.
And he seems like such a cool guy.
He does.
And supposedly he's pretty shy. He doesn't like being
where
around.
How did he come into the whole thing?
I'll give you one guess. Go ahead, guess.
Friend of Eddie's.
There you go.
Ding.
Well, Boom's from Hawaii.
Okay.
Eddie likes to surf.
Sure.
Eddie goes to Hawaii to surf.
I've heard that he surfs in West Seattle.
Yes.
How?
I think he lives
in. Did we talk about this already?
No, we haven't. Okay, no, good. But it's true. I've heard that as well. Alki.
How do you surf in West Seattle?
I heard he surfs at Alki. I don't know how you do it either. But he's Eddie Vedder. He has a private beach.
He's probably got like a motorized thing that he just tows himself around on a surfboard.
Yeah.
Because there's no waves. It's not happening.
Well, and it's so damn cold.
Yeah.
Who would want to surf in that water?
Yeah.
But he does it.
I do want to go to his house and throw axes with him.
That would be so fun.
That sounds really cool.
Did you ever read the article in Spin Magazine
when
Backspacer came out? And the guy's like, I'm drinking Coronas with Eddie Vedder,
totally.
Throwing axes. Like,
totally.
How rock and roll is that?
There's two articles I've read that have stuck with me. And that is one, because I thought, how many chances would you get to just throw axes around with Eddie Vedder? The other was, there was one, I think it was Rolling Stone, a million and a half years ago, where Eddie was talking about the fact that, like, the fandom was getting kind of out of control and all that, and that he really wished that there was a way to just be able to sit down with a fan and just, like, play music. Not, like, their music, but just, like, play records and just hang out and just kind of share that experience or whatever. And I remember thinking, like, what would it take to be that guy? How could I convince him that I'm not a weirdo? And then I realized the fact that I'm thinking this to myself,
yeah,
I'm that weirdo.
That's the thing. Like, I you can't go, once you start doing a Pearl Jam podcast,
yeah, then you're done.
You can't go back.
We'll never be friends.
It's just like, we just happen to be people, we're just fans.
And it's too bad, because up until now, I think I had a shot.
You think Eddie would have been like, oh, hey.
Yeah, come on in. Let's go throw an axe.
Yeah. Let's ride the L is for love, ride the elevator.
Let's ride the elevator.
The elevator goes up and down.
Speaking of crazy fans, we've got some of our own now.
Yeah.
So we've got that.
How
going
awesome
for us,
is that?
Which is
nice. I want to thank, shout out to the supporters who have picked this up and run with it so early in its life.
Yeah.
After the first episode, we got some acknowledgement from a few Pearl Jam fan sites. 2 Feet Thick, The Sky Skyscraper, Pearl Jam Online, all the way in Italy. They sent out a tweet about our podcast.
I should know his name. It escapes me. The guy from the All That's Sacred podcast.
Donnie.
Yeah, he retweeted
something. Donnie mentioned, hey, somebody, I think the tweet was like, looks like somebody picked up the Pearl Jam podcasting torch.
Yeah. So
Donnie Anderson, I believe is his name.
Yeah.
And thank you, Donnie, for that co-sign, that endorsement.
Yeah.
That's great. And work. We're trying to, if you can't tell, we're fans of Pearl Jam, and we're trying to create something for the community of fans and be fans, and something that we hope fans enjoy, and it seems like it's working. So.
Yeah, and we even got an email.
Yeah, we got an email from a listener. It's weird for me to say listener, because I get emails from readers.
Right, right.
So this is my first email from a listener.
Yeah, oh, wow.
Cool. This is from Tim. It says, just listened to the cast and loved it. Glad to see it's by fans for fans. And yes, I have cried at shows before. Given to Fly gets me every time. Keep on streaming in the free world.
Boom.
Yeah.
How about that deal?
So, one day I'll tell you about the time I cried at a Pearl Jam show.
Yeah, we haven't heard your story.
Times plural.
I've already sobbed and...
Yeah, I don't really have... It's nothing all that great.
Come on.
Seriously, I wanted to wait until... See, I'm in the middle of moving, and all my Pearl Jam is packed.
Okay.
Except for what's on my hard drive, and I don't have the Benaroya on my hard drive. So I wanted to play the Benaroya Black.
I could probably pull it up.
Yeah, why don't you pull it up?
Okay.
It's just a... As with most people, like, I'm a pretty stoic concert goer. If you ever see me at a show, I'm either standing in the back, maybe with my arms crossed, look like I'm not having fun, but I'm actually having a blast. As I work as a professional music journalist, I go to dozens or hundreds of shows a year. So I'm out quite a bit, and I end up, you know, staying up late writing about what I see and kind of critiquing and kind of being subjective.
Subjective. Okay, sure.
Subjective, because sure. I have to be critical. But I am being observant, so I'm kind of taking notes in my head, and like I'm working, so I'm not going all crazy, screaming and yelling. You can turn it up in the background if you want. And so I don't go all crazy at shows. And this is a Benaroya Hall, 2003, I believe, October 4th.
I don't know about the date, but yes, 2003.
2003 in Seattle, Benaroya Hall. Benaroya Hall is the concert hall for the Seattle Symphony. For those who don't know. And Pearl Jam played a benefit show for Youth Cares, which is a local organization that helps homeless youth. And I was lucky enough to get a ticket, and it was fourth row center, and I was sitting next to Norm Rice, which is kind of was a former mayor of Seattle.
You must have been like 10 rows in front of me.
Probably.
Yeah.
And it was just one of these spine-tingling moments, and it doesn't happen until the end of the song. So I could talk through the whole song, or we could go to the end.
Well, set it up for us.
So I'm taking notes, and I will admit this. I booted this song or this show on a mini disc player that I had in my pocket, and a mini disc recorder.
Probably sounds awesome.
It sounds as good as the official boot. And it took years for Pearl Jam to release this as a bootleg. It is a fully acoustic show, which actually isn't true because
that's
Mike was
true,
plugged
yeah,
in.
Yeah.
But it was billed as an acoustic show. And I remember just sitting there watching the band and just like Black as a song that's always hit me.
Yeah.
Every time I hear it, it's just like, it's just a great fucking song.
Yeah.
And I was in awe of the experience of being so close to the band, of being in such a small environment with the band. The acoustics in Benaroya Hall are nuts.
Yeah.
They sound so great. And the part of the song at the very end where Eddie's like, now you sing. Everybody starts singing. I still get goosebumps when I hear it. And I don't sing at shows. I don't. If we ever go to a Pearl Jam show together, Jeremy, you'll see me. I'll be standing in the back with my arms crossed, not singing.
See, I still want to get you to do a Pearl Jam karaoke night some night for our listeners.
Well, I mean,
we all night long.
We can do that, but I don't know if I'll do karaoke. but I was singing, and it was so like this song I grew up with as a teenager.
Yeah.
And just like. With 2,500 other people in that room, and it sounded so fucking amazing. Like tears started coming down.
Do you have like a breakup or an emotional, personal story, or just the song on some level?
It's just the song. It's seriously just the song.
See, because I have a moment, and I don't remember if my I don't know if my memory of it is accurate or not. But at the time, you know, I'm a teenager, dating this girl, and it's just a nightmare. It's off and on. Just a nightmare, and there's kind of this moment where I know it's ending. I just kind of know. I don't know why, but I can tell it's ending. I'm sitting in my truck, and it's snowing, and this song comes on the radio. I can still see the snowflakes out my windshield, and so whenever I hear this song, it could be a day like today, 85 degrees or 70, beautiful.
It brings you right back to that moment.
Boom!
Doesn't
it's snowing,
it?
Yeah. And I'm in my truck.
Yeah,
it's so weird.
Yeah, but, no, I have several songs and moments like that, but Black is not like that for me. It just happened to be a song that I love, and it just, I mean, it's almost the perfect version of the song. It just sounds so great.
Well, I think we're getting close to the
we're getting to
you sing.
Yeah.
So let's turn it over to the band. I'm crying right now.
I might start singing. This is it right here.
That cheer is the best.
Yeah, and you know, there have been hundreds of Pearl Jam shows where Ed's done that.
Yeah.
You know, but that specific moment in that setting in Seattle, and being so close to the band and just having that release and just, I don't know, it just tears just started coming out of my eyes.
Yeah.
And I was like, what, am I leaking? What's that?
Was it Eddie's blonde hair? Maybe it was that.
That was the I was going to mention the Platinum Ed. Yeah, that's the very rare Platinum Eddie. Almost as rare as the Mohawk Eddie.
That's right.
Yeah, now you know how it's Mohawk now.
Oh, he does.
Mike has the Mohawk now.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Last time I saw him, he had the Mohawk. Yeah, this was an incredible show. I do remember being at least at first kind of put off because it was supposed to be all acoustic and Mike's plugged in the whole time.
Yeah, and I mean when they did Unplugged, it was like when Nirvana did Unplugged, and I was like, "Oh, are they going to play School? Are they going to break out Negative Creep? Are they going to do this totally loud Unplugged show?" And I thought, "Oh, are they going to break out Porch? Are they going to play? I mean, are they going to do even Flow?
Yeah.
How are they going to situate this live acoustic setting?"
Yeah. Well, but if you look at that MTV Unplugged, which by the way, at the time, who the hell was Pearl Jam to be playing MTV Unplugged?
Right.
I mean, they're
no Clapton
out of nowhere. But that show, I recorded that. I remember recording that off of my VHS onto a cassette that I played until the thing just melted.
Yeah, like, I did the same thing.
Those versions, that show, still probably one of the best shows they've ever done.
Yeah, and it's so it's just raw Pearl Jam. It's just that's like right when they were ascending to stardom. They were either at their stardom there or getting to be there. I don't know the timeline.
Yeah.
Of when it happened. But
I think
it was
I think they were kind of the last band on the rise to play Unplugged. After that, it was like this thing is so big now that Clapton and Nirvana, when they were huge, and everybody that was big, did an Unplugged. But I think they were kind of the last ones to be relatively unknown. I think on a big scale.
Yeah, and so that's my one story about the one time I cried. I have another story about the other time I cried, but we'll share that later.
All right.
So it's not
it's a teaser.
It's not as good as the Benaroya story, but it's definitely actually maybe it is. But yeah, I won an award for it. Kind of.
You won an award for the time you cried.
I won an award for writing about the show at which I cried.
Crybaby.
Yes, I am a. Huge...
But we're gonna save that story, or do you want?
No,
to...
we'll save that. Okay. I'll need to actually, have a computer pull up the story.
Gotcha.
Do all that kind of stuff. We'll do that later. Maybe we'll go five episodes.
Right.
What?
Once we get a little more seasoned.
Yeah. Maybe we'll even get it to seven.
Okay. So there's somewhere else you wanted to go with this, and I'm forgetting what that was.
I just want to talk a little bit about the obsessiveness, maybe my obsessive nature, and I think there are other fans out there.
Seems like an excellent time to do that.
Yeah, there are other fans out there. Since we already decided that we're never going to be cool enough to sit on a porch and
right.
have just Eddie Vedder play music with us because we're
Let's
big.
Let's play our favorite Minor Threat records and just hang out.
Yeah.
That's all I want to do.
But no, it's really interesting because right now at the time of the band, it's where the band's at in the year 2013, everybody's anticipating a record. Mm-hmm. People anticipated a record last year. So this year, there's not necessarily... I don't think the band's actually said a record's coming out this year. There's been no official statement by the band, just band members saying it in interviews, but no thing like on the Pearl Jam's website where it says, we're going on a fall tour. That's a definite. That's something that's happening this year. So, for example, when Pearl Jam Radio puts on its Facebook page that you'll want to listen to Pearl Jam Radio or Pearl Jam Radio on Sirius or on Pearl Jam's website at 11 o'clock on Wednesday, you think something's up because Pearl Jam Radio is commissioned by Pearl Jam, so you know, it's an official channel.
Maybe we can get on there.
Ooh, maybe. I know a guy.
Probably not.
I know a guy.
Oh, so, really?
I think I
well,
do.
Hmm.
Yeah. Hmm. I think we'll have them on here.
All right.
So then yeah. I don't think we'd ever get on Pearl Jam Radio.
We'll put them on, but next thing you know, they're going to be driving their cars into our houses.
Isn't this kind of like Pearl Jam Radio right now, though?
Yeah, close
I mean,
enough.
Except with disc jockeys. We're not really disc jockeys. We're just talking.
We're just nerds.
Yeah. We play music, though. We cry. I mean, come on. I cried for you people. Anyway, so when Pearl Jam Radio puts on their Facebook page, listen to Pearl Jam Radio at 11 o'clock, blah, 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 you wonder what it is, and you know something's going to happen. But at the same time, logically, as a journalist who's been doing music stuff for 15 years, I know that it's not going to be a new song. I know that it's not going to be tour dates. I know that it's not going to be news on the record, because all of that stuff either goes through, like, will go through Billboard or Rolling Stone exclusively, or press releases will be sent out. Like, that stuff isn't
right, they're not going to tweet the new album.
Yeah. So, but I still hold out that, like, 1%
sure.
of hope that maybe that's what it is.
Of course.
But logically, like, I know it's no way that's
happening.
You
don't even have to be a music journalist, because as a fan, every time that I've fallen for that, oh, man, here we go. Here comes they're going to play Safeco, or here comes the album. No, it's always like, we have a new hat.
Yeah, we sell $40 dog collars. Did you know that's a thing?
I think you mentioned that. I don't know if it was on the show, but I think you did mention that.
Yeah, the 10 Club is starting to do monthly emails, which is great. 10 Club's been doing some really good things for fans this year. But they're starting to do monthly emails. Like, you get access to the vault, which they show, or their video vault, so you can watch some old tour clips. You get, like, they'll do new merch, like they did winter merch, I think. Now they're doing spring merch.
And you just bought into that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it was just like, it's cool to get that information out there. But at the same time, the day that this, what Pearl Jam Radio was doing was they were going to premiere Pearl Jam's From the Vault Number 3, which is a show from Washington, D.C. that they performed, I think, during the Yield Tour. So they played the entire boot of that. And what's really interesting is, being a vinyl nerd, one, for me, and two, a 10 Club member, they're making a limited run of vinyl of this live show. Only for 10 Club members.
Mm.
So, but you got to pay $50 to get it.
Well, and aren't there like a 500,000 10 Club members?
200,000.
Okay.
Supposedly, that's the membership number that I heard today.
Hmm.
Pearl Jam will never confirm how many members
sure.
they have. But those, that's active. So I assume by active, they mean paying.
Right.
Not
right.
registered, but people, because once you want, like, you could be number one, and you could be the first person ever to sign up for 10 Club.
But
if you haven't paid your dues and 10 years or whatever, you're not that number anymore.
Right.
You're not in 10 Club. But so, yeah, the news was that they were going to play that. They were going to debut that, which was also the same day in the morning. An email came out from 10 Club to fans saying, you know, hey, we're selling this merch. We're selling. Here's new merch that we're selling. Here's your new wallpaper that you get. And here's the From the Vault. And you can buy the vault now. You can buy it as a non-10 Club member on digital or CD. And then I believe they're selling a limited number to 10 Club members, and the rest will be limited supply to whoever gets it. But it's $50 for a triple vinyl. And the worst part about 10 Club, I know it's a business, and you can't adjust shipping rates for everybody, although I think you can. But they don't. So it's like $7 shipping to get it sent to Seattle.
And it's like across
from
the street.
Seattle to Seattle. And I can't just drive over to 10
right.
Club HQ.
I'll pick it up.
Well, the thing is, I've been to 10 Club HQ. I know it's a cool, they're cool people, and it's a nice little operation, and they're very nice to me, and that but I don't think I could be like, hey, do you mind if I drop by to avoid the $7 shipping charge?
Right.
They like me, but they're not going to they don't like me, you know.
We should do a show from there.
I don't think that would.
They wouldn't go for that?
I don't think they'd go for that.
Just right outside then.
I don't think. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, on the merchandise kick, so it was Father's Day here recently.
Yes, recently. Father, let's hear your Father's Day story.
And I got something pretty cool. Now, I think I mentioned in the last, or made a reference to the movie Singles in the last episode.
Right.
I just watched that movie again the other day. It's still. Stands up. It's a great movie and all that.
Cornell song that you're thinking of is Sun Showers.
Yes.
Yeah. We couldn't think of it in episode 4, but it just clicked.
Sure, sure.
Yeah.
You probably got an email since then that said, hey, dummy. I'm just kidding. So the movie Singles, I just watched it the other day. When that thing came out, the fictional band that featured Eddie Vedder and Jeff Ament and Stone was in the band, and then Matt, or what's his name? Matt... Actor
Matt Dillon.
Dillon, thank you. Matt Dillon was the front man for Citizen Dick, the fictional band. I had the T-shirt. I had the Citizen Dick T-shirt. It was a black T-shirt with just the white Citizen Dick and then the band, just like their logo or whatever. I wore that thing literally until it disintegrated. Like, it fell off my body. I wore that thing so much. So for Father's Day, my wife did a little research, went online. That shirt is not made anymore. You can buy used Citizen Dick t-shirts for like $45-$50 that have holes throughout them if you're desperate. She did manage to find one that was, I don't know, I don't think it's a knockoff. I don't totally understand, but it's a Citizen Dick t-shirt with like the fictional date of playing the Vogue.
Wow.
At 9 p.m. on whatever date or whatever. So I geeked out because I've got my Citizen Dick t-shirt back. I can't believe I'm not wearing it right now because I want to wash it. I want to give it a good wash before I actually put it on. But I'll never take it off.
That's so great.
Yeah. Citizen. So anyways, I'm a huge nerd because I'm very excited to get this shirt. And the fact that it has a concert date that never happened for a fictional band from a movie that I loved. So anyways, I'm a nerd.
Yeah, that's fantastic. That's a terrific present, man. That's happy Father's Day to you. That's great.
That's right. It pays to have kids, I'm here to tell you.
Yes. If only for the tax deductions.
Those aren't bad.
Because it literally pays.
I think we're getting close to wrapping
up. Why don't we wrap this up with, thank yous for listening.
Yeah, and for all the feedback. We've been very fortunate to be retweeted and shared on all the various
You guys keep giving us feedback and let us know what you want to hear or hear us talk about, and we'll be glad to provide if we can. Feel free to get in touch with us at evillittlegoatscast@gmail.com, or you can find us on gorillacandy.com. That's GURILLACANDY.com. Jeremy, you can find him on the Sibling Rivalry podcast. Mm-hmm. Is there a...
Just thesiblingrivalry.com.
Siblingrivalry.com.
So that's that. Now, you wanted to play some more...
Let's hear Lucan again.
Yeah.
But let's hear it differently.
Yeah. Now, where am I going to find this? I found it.
All right. Found it. Good. So this is from Madison Square Garden in 2010, and it's Lucan with an orchestra, and it's great.
And here it is. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next week. GorillaCandy.com.
Walk down the street, can't find the keys to my own home. I take a walk, curse myself for being dumb. After the arches, stinking grease and bone, piss on the supermarket like a dog. I'm gonna Lucas. I got a spot in Lucas. Lock the door at Lucas, open the fridge. Now I know life is big. I returned home to find an open door. I found a freak who thinks that I'm her son. I call the cops, this day's work's never done. Last I heard the freak was purchasing a fucking gun. Spotted Lucas. few for the serious collectors.